Good morning. Today's daf and svachim is daf beis. We are beginning now seder kachim. It is just a general overview for the mesechta. So at the beginning of seder kachim, obviously kachim has to do with karbanos. Just as a simple first observation. So you'll notice that there's gemara. Now, why is that interesting? In other words, on most of the mesechta that we're going to be learning together in seder kachim. So there's gemara that's interesting because, as we know, the gemara was written post Chorban by Sheni. After the destruction of the second temple, so there's no longer karbanos that are brought. And yet, the Amoraim actively learned all these mishnayos that have to do with the karbanos, with Maisa karbanos. And so first and foremost, it was important to the Amoraim, these mishnayos, even though they were no longer halach la Maisa. So we obviously follow the lead of the Amoraim. The Amoraim obviously felt that this was not, even though it's most of what we're going to be learning over the course of the next little while is not going to be la Maisa, but the concepts of karbanos are such an important concept that it demanded a lot of their attention. Contrast that to Taharos, Seder Taharos, which is the next Seder that's coming up in Shas Mishnayos. So we're not going to see much of it in the Daf Yomi. The Daf Yomi only covers one of the Masechta, so only Masechta Nida, which has Gemara attached to it, because it's Halach L'maisa Masechta Nida. But the other parts of Seder Taharos, the other Mishnayos, don't have any Gemara attached to it. And so Masechta is Kelim Olos, etc., etc. So the Amoraim did not spend time learning it. Now I'd venture a guess, probably a good one, that they learned the Mishnayos and they mastered the Mishnayos, but they weren't Masad de Gemara. They didn't organize the Gemara around those Mishnayos. Meanwhile, here in Seder Kachim, so the Amoraim wrote on nearly every Masechta. So Karbanos obviously was near and dear to them in terms of spending time on this topic. The first two Masechta, Zvachim Menachos, that was macro. Now I'm going to get a little more micro, just a little bit. The Zvachim Menachos, the first two Masechta that we're going to learn in the Masechta. So Zvachim have to do with Karbanos that deal with animals, and Menachos have to do with Karbanos that deal with a mincha offering, a flower offering. So they're both obviously tied into the aspects of Hakrava, of offering. They are generalized under the category of Karban, but obviously they have a different set of rules, and therefore there are two Masechtas that are dedicated to. Our Masechta is made up of 14 Prakim. Menachos is made up of 13 Prakim. So these are the big Masechtas, which, of course, as we know, we see this in every Seder. So the larger Masechtas are always front-loaded on the first part of the Seder. And then as we move to the end of the Masechtas in each Seder, so the in terms of Prakim, they're smaller and smaller. So obviously we first open up with the larger of the Masechtas. Okay, now we'll move to Masechta Zvachim. Masechta Zvachim is what we're about to learn right now, so we're not going to know everything we need to know right now today. In other words, I cannot teach you all of the adios of Seder Kachim al Regla Achas. I can't teach it to you just in the next 5 minutes. Can't teach it to you in the next 10 minutes. There are a lot of adios that we need to know, but the truth of the matter is over the course of the Masechta, we're going to pick it up, yedia after yedia. We're going to gain the information necessary in order to really understand and appreciate this Masechta. But I will just highlight some of the most basic points, most general points regarding Seder Kachim. You know, it's funny. We learned yesterday that Rav Shimon Gamliel, so he had a crash course in Masechta Uksin. In other words, he got tipped off. Remember yesterday's daf in the end of Horios. He got tipped off that they were gonna have a study session on Masechta Uksin. He wasn't prepared, quite frankly. But somebody tipped him off, and he was able to cram in Seder Uksin, Maseches Uksin in a short amount of time. Okay, that's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Okay, I can say for myself, I'm not there. But I will, however, highlight some of the most basic information regarding Karbanos. Most of the information will be useful in today's daf alone. And then again, as we go over the course of the Masechta, we're just going to, day after day, page after page, we'll really gain the amount necessary information that we're going to know, so that, God willing, we're going to be able to master this Masechta. Number one, when it comes to a Karbanos, so Karbanos can be put into two categories. There's Kachi Kachim and Kachim Kalim. Kachi Kachim are higher level Karbanos, and Kachi Kalim are lower level Karbanos. Okay, what makes the distinction between Kachi Kachim and Kachi Kalim? So you'll see later on in the Masechta, especially when we get to the fifth parak of the Masechta, you'll see some fundamental differences between the two. I'd like to say that by Kachi Kachim, so that goes all on the Mizbeach and none of that is eaten. But that's not perfectly accurate. Meaning you have a Karban Chatzis, you have a Karban Asham, which has that higher level of Kedusha, it's Kachi Kachim, and meanwhile, it's eaten by Zichrei Kohuna in the Azara. But in other words, but if you'd like in your head to have some sort of concept and some sort of structure and framework in terms of the difference between kachi kachim and kachi kalim, so carbon ola, for example, that's kachi kachim. That ola is kulo nechal on the mizbech, totally burnt on the mizbech. Masha'en came when it comes to carbon shlamim, so carbon shlamim is divided, right? You could use this word both literally and figuratively. It's piecemeal, meaning it's a nice pun, right? Think about it some more. So it's really piecemeal. Some of it goes on to the mizbech, some of it is given to the kohanim, some of it is given to the owner. So that's a carbon shlamim. That does not have the higher order of kachi kachim. That has the lower order of kachim kalim. And even within each major category of kachi kachim, kachi kalim, it can even be further subdivided. And you're going to see some of this talk later this morning. That even within the world of kachim kalim, you can have karbanos that are on a higher level of kedusha than that of other karbanos, and for reasons which we'll articulate a little bit later on. In terms of what we're going to be focusing on in the course of this parak, I'm sorry, one other major division of karbanos is karban yachid versus karban sibur. Karban yachid are karbanos that are offered by individuals for reasons that are sometimes obligation and sometimes voluntary. But in other words, you have a karban that can be brought by an individual as opposed to a karban sibur. Karban sibur is brought by the community. Community is sponsored, of course, by the community. Right? One of those things that we tend to forget. But in other words, we are the community. We are the payers and the providers of the community. But still, no, in other words, there's a separate fund. It's collected every year. There's an entire mesechta dedicated to this, and that's called shkalim. Oddly enough, by the way, shkalim is in Moed. In other words, you can make a very strong argument that shkalim should be here instead of kachim. But either way, there's a collection that's made annually. That's called the Machitzas HaShekel. Those monies are collected, and those monies are pooled together. And from that fund, you have karbanos that are karban sibur, that are communal funds that are offered. The communal funds that are offered are paying for all the karban sibers that are brought year-round, the karban tamid, the daily offering, karbanos that are brought, the extra karbanos on Shabbos, extra karbanos on Yontif, etc., etc. So in other words, you have what's called a karban yachin, you have a karban sibur. One other division I'm just going to go over again. We could just go on and on. These are just the basics of the basics. So another division that we can make is a carbon chova versus a carbon adava. An obligatory carbon versus an optional or voluntary carbon. Some carbonists are necessary, required to bring. All the carbon sibur are obligatory. Right? A carbon sibur is not optional. In other words, that is obviously instructed for the community to bring. But when it comes to an individual can sometimes bring a carbon chova, and sometimes an individual can bring a carbon nedava. So that's another basic division that are made within the karbanos. Okay. Again, a lot of the ideas we're going to be getting over the course of the mesechta, we are not going to be able to process everything right now. We're going to be spending the first half of the mesechta, nearly half, detailing and discussing machshava, having thoughts and intentions while offering the karbanos. When a person brings a karban, so there has to be a certain amount of kavana. Now, the truth of the matter is we say this by all mitzvahs, meaning, in fact, the Gemara debates throughout all of Shas, mitzvot tzrichos kavanos or mitzvot enos tzrichos kavanos. But this is, by karbanos, it goes a little bit more than just simply mitzvot tzrichos kavanos. It's a stronger idea, it's a more powerful idea, that when offering a karban, you need to have the proper kavana, and with improper kavana, under certain occasions, the karban's no good. Meaning that it's just, irrespective of where we hold regarding mitzvahs require kavana, mitzvahs do not require kavana. In other words, by a karban, the machshava, the intent while bringing the karban, is critical. I'll say important, and then under certain times, we'll say it's even critical.
How would you know it? Only in his mind.
Right. So one of the things which the Gemara does not discuss openly, and so I can show you a couple of Rishonim over the course of the next couple of weeks that discuss when we talk about machshava, are we talking about a thought, or are we talking about an articulation of the thought? The easiest way to say it is that when we say machshava, we mean an articulation. It has to be a dibur that expresses the person's machshava. That's the easiest way to say it, and I will show you a little bit later on that the Rishonim talk like that, that it has to be a dibur. But anyway, we're just speaking in conceptual terms. So there needs to be a machshava that comes with every carbon. What machshavas need to be had? The truth of the matter is that the Gemara waits till the end of the fourth parak to share this information with us. And again, like we've said time and again, like to learn Gemara, you got to know Gemara. It's circular sometimes, but that's just simply how it works. Meaning that you learn it, and you learn it again, you appreciate it even more, because when you learn it again, you're like, oh yeah, that's right, the The Kavana discussion occurs primarily on the at the end of the fourth parak. If we just take a look at the end of the fourth parak, open up to open up to Daf Mem Vavam and Beis in the Masechta. So the mission over there reads L'shem Shisha Dvar Mazevach Nizbach. That when you offer a carbon, you have to have six kavanas in mind every time you offer a carbon. And I'm going to read the Mishnah later this morning, and we're going to go over the Mishnah once again, as the Gemara later on is going to quote this Mishnah. But the Mishnah reads, L'shem Zevach, you have to have the right carbon in mind. L'shem Zevach, you have to have the right person in mind, meaning the owner of the carbon. L'shem Hashem, you have to have a Kadosh Baruch Hu in mind. L'shem Ishim, it has to be burnt on the fire. L'shem Reach, it has to be for the Kavanah of Reach. I'll explain that better later on this morning. And L'shem Nichoach, and also you have to have Nichoach in mind as well. And then when it comes to the carbon chatos and the carbon asham, you also have to remember which chait the person violated and why the carbon is bringing for what particular chait the person is bringing it for. Those are the kavanas that are necessary every time a person brings a carbon. And so what we're going to be talking about over here is the significance of machshava and what happens if the machshava goes awry. Now, I'll ask the question now. I'll present the question now. I'm not going to answer the question right now, but it doesn't come up in the Gemara's discussion. But let's think about now what the procedure is in terms of bringing carbon. I have an animal that I want to dedicate as a carbon, or I'm obligated to bring as a carbon. It can go in either direction. It could be either chova or nedava. And what I do is that I dedicate the animal. I have to purchase the animal. I have to own the animal. I makdish the animal. And then I give it to the kohen, and the kohen does the work from that point going forward. Shechita, as we'll learn later in the Masechta, shechita could be done by the owner. But in other words, from that point going forward, any of the subsequent avodas that are done have to be done by the kohen, can only be done by the kohen. If done by a non-kohen, or even a kohen who's a puzzle, so the avod does no good. So so I give it to the kohen, and he then, from that point going forward, performs the avodah. So when now we're talking about a machshava ra, we're talking about a machshava that's no good. Who's having this machshava? Obviously the answer is the kohen, meaning the one who's actually doing the avod at the time. So in other words, it's not his karban, he's just simply working he's an agent. He's a shliach. And he is bringing my carbon. So one of the things that you have to take into consideration is that the machshava that's being had over here is not necessarily by the owner of the carbon. In fact, it's not the owner of the carbon most of the time. Again, shechita could be that gray area. But in other words, from that point going forward, any of the other subsequent avodas that occur are going to be done by the kohen. So here it's really interesting where you're having a machshava that is occurring by the kohen, who's not necessarily the owner of the carbon per se, but he's got to do it right. And part of doing it right is having the right machshava in mind. So just one of the things to consider is this, first of all, just the basic idea that the machshava that we're talking about is not necessarily by the owner. It's by the kohen, who's my agent. And then another question, the second follow-up would be, well, if the kohen did ruin it with a machshava ra, so then does he have a liability towards me? Meaning I asked him to bring him a carbon, I expected him to do it correctly, he didn't do it correctly, he had a machshava ra, so does he have any kind of responsibility and liability towards me in terms of, you know, making good on my carbon, reimbursing me, so to say, or at least funding a new carbon. That's a lot of good and important things to think about. Let's begin the Mishnah. We're on Beis Amad Aleph. We're starting with the Mishnah. Kol hazvachim shenizbechu shalosh man ksherim. So the Mishnah tells us that any carbon that was nizbach, that was shechted, shalosh man, and it was done so not for its sake. What does that mean, not for its sake? You take a look at Rashi. Rashi on the first Rashi on the Mishnah, shenishchad ola l'shem shlamim. Let's say it's a carbon ola. And what the Kohen then did is the Kohen said to himself, okay, I'm shechting this for the purpose of a shlamim. So he now was changing the designation of the animal. This is, we're going to introduce you to some new terms for today. This is what's called shinui kodesh. Shinui kodesh means you're making a change in the kedusha of the carbon. Carbon carbon is an ola, and the Kohen decided, no, it's a shlamim. Was he b'shogeg? Did he do it b'mezid? Not totally clear, not perfectly clear, but for our purposes right now, let's just simply say that he changed the designation of the carbon. So a kol hazvachim shenizbechu shalosh man ksherim. So the Mishnah tells us that when the Kohen does a shinui kodesh, he changes its designation from an ola to a shlamim, so the carbon itself is going to be kasher, ela shelo alu labalim l'shem chova. But what it doesn't do is that it does not meet the requirement of its owner, meaning it doesn't satisfy the owner's obligation to bring this carbon. Meaning, and here we're going to get to a really interesting middle ground, the carbon's still good. Now, does the owner get a check for bringing his carbon? No. Owner does not get a check. Owner now of the carbon has to bring another carbon because he has now become detached from his carbon. He and his carbon no longer have a relationship, and therefore, he's got to bring a carbon anew. As far as the carbon itself is concerned, so continue. Meaning, even though the Kohen now has created detachment between the animal and its owner, nevertheless, the carbon is still going to go through, this carbon is still going to be brought. Later in the Gemara, we're going to learn from this point going forward. Do you have to go back to the original machshava? Yeah, can you remain now with this new, incorrect machshava? We'll discuss that later in the Gemara. But in the meantime, however, what the Kohen has created is detachment. But the carbon itself is still good. Chutz min ha-pesach ve-achatas. Ha-pesach bezmano ve-achatas bechozman. With the Mishnah saying that there are notable exceptions. The two notable exceptions are Karban Pesach and a Karban Chatas. Karban Pesach specifically, in the afternoon on Erev Pesach, when is the Zman, that's the proper time to bring the Karban Pesach. If the Kohen, when offering the Karban Pesach, had a Machshava Ra, he had a bad Machshava, it was a Shinui Kodesh with the Machshava, so as a result of that, not only is there a detachment, the Karban's not going to be good. Similarly with the Karban Chatas. If the Kohen makes a Shinui Kodesh, changes the designation of the Karban Chatas when Shechting it, declares it to be a Shlamim, so not only does it create, you create detachment between the carbon and the owner, but on top of that also, the carbon is possible, the carbon's no good. Why are these the notable exceptions? Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to discuss that, but not today. They're coming up a little bit later on. Before we continue in the Mishnah, another general point to make, another more yediyos to learn together, and a quick look at Tosos, the first Tosos on the Masechta. We're talking about doing the avoda and having a machshava during the avoda. We're going to be hearing this time and again. This will become second nature to us. What is an avoda? What is what's an official service, so to say, in the Beis Hamikdash? So an avoda is anything that's done to facilitate an animal being brought on the mizbeach. But the truth of the matter is that there are four points specifically that are pointed to and are called significant. The first avoda, there are four avodas in total. The first avoda is the shechita, the shechting of the animal. Second avoda is the kabbalas adam, meaning after you slice the front of the neck of the animal, blood now is going to be pouring out from that neck of the animal, and what the Kohen is going to be doing is holding a bowl over there and receiving the blood. This is what's called kabbalas adam. That's the second avoda. The third avoda is the holacha, meaning now that the Kohen, who is doing this in the azara, in the temple courtyard, so now that he has the blood of the animal in a bowl in his hand, he then has to walk it over to the mizbeach. This is what's called holacha. And finally, there's zrika. He takes the from the blood and he sprinkles onto the mizbeach. How the sprinkling is done depends on the carbon in terms of which corners of the mizbeach he's going to hit and what parts of the mizbeach he's going to hit. All that to be discussed in greater detail later on. Right now, this is just Rosh Hashanah, the basics, if you will. So we have Shechita, Kabbalas Adam, Holacha, and Zrika. These are the Dalar Avodos. So if a Kohen were to have a bad Machshava during what our Mishnah describes as being Shechita, so then, again, most of the time detachment, and sometimes the karma is going to be pasul. So point number one, which Tosfos makes, is that this is not only going to be true during Shechita, which is Avoda number one, this will be true for any of the Dalar Avoda. So, if a Kohen had Shinui Kodesh, a change of designation of the Karban, either during the Shechita or the Kabbalas Adam or the Holacha or the Zrika, so then the same effect will occur. Again, the effect is most of the time detachment. Some of the time, the Karban will become Pasul by a Karban Pesach and by Karban Chatas. Tosfos also discusses the following. That is all with Shinui Kodesh, meaning a changing of the designation of the Karban. What about Shinui Bailam? Shinui Bailam means that when the Kohen does the Avodah, he has another owner in mind. Meaning another owner, meaning not the owner. Somebody else. Is that also going to create the same effect? Tosfos says yes, but Tosfos says but limited. When it comes to Shinui Bailam, take a look at Tosfos. Let's see the Tosfos inside. Just read the first bit of Tosfos. He writes, Avodah kamaisa nakar v'hu adin kabbalah v'alach v'zrika k'detani seifa. Even though our Mishnah only mentions Shechita, but if you have a change of designation on the animal Shinui Kodesh, it will have the same effect for any of the Dalar Avodas. And the Gemara is going to make that point very clear later on Daf Yud Gimel. V'Shinui Kodesh ha'ech ba'anach arba avodas k'gon olah l'shem shlamim. And this is all true by Shinui Kodesh. But now watch and listen carefully to the next part of Tosfos. Aval Shinui Ba'alim, but if it comes to a change of the owner, while the Kohen is doing the Avoda with the Karban, he has a different owner in mind. Aval Shinui Bailam, lo shayech ela bezrika. So Tosfos says that this is only going to have an effect on the carbon, only for that Uzrika. Kigon Shochin, Makabo, Amolach, Carbon, Reuven, Amenas, Lezrog, Damo, Leshem, Shimon. It's Reuven's carbon. And the Kohen's now thinking Shimon. So the only time this will have effect on the carbon, either detachment or disqualifying the carbon, is only going to be for Zrika and not for the other avodas. Now, Tosos brings a Gemara later on that proves this point, but conceptually, why should that be? Why should it be that for Shinui Kodesh, it's going to adversely affect the carbon and all four of the avodas, but meanwhile, when it comes to Shinui Balam, a change of the owner, so that only works for Zrika, not for the others. So I'm suggesting a simple understanding of Tosfos. I think it's simple. And that is that when you think about Shinui Bailim, meaning from the owner's standpoint, what to him is the most significant? Meaning the Shechita and the Kabbalah Sadam and the Holacha are all necessary, but they're all really preparatory acts. Meaning that's not what gives the owner the necessary kapara that he's going to receive. What's giving the owner the necessary kapara is Zrika Sadam, the sprinkling of the blood. Meaning that now is the moment now where the owner of the animal receives a check. So vis-a-vis the owner, the time that is most critical and significant to him is Zrika Sadam. Everything up until that point in time is just simply a Hechsher. It's just simply preparatory. Yes, it's called an Avoda, but from the owner's standpoint, meaning, you know, I appreciate all the work that you need to put in. But for me, the most important part is the Zrika. So that's why when it comes to Shinui Bailam, the Zrika becomes the significant time. And if there's a change in the owner, so that's where it's going to create either detachment or perhaps even possibly the carbon. Masha Enke, when it comes to Shinui Kodesh, it's not a reflection of the owner, it's a reflection of the carbon. Meaning the Kohen has to have the right carbon in mind. And if he categorically has a different carbon in mind, so that's going to create, again, either detachment or a disqualification of the carbon. So that could be the distinction that is between Shinui Kodesh versus Shinui Bailam. Okay.
You could also argue the Zrika is a preparatory act because what's the sacrifice is putting the animal on the Mizbeah.
Right, but in terms of when does the owner receive a check? The check comes with the Zrika Sadam. That's the check. If the animal is not offered on the Mizbeach from that point going forward, from the owner's standpoint, the carbon was offered. Meaning Zrika Sadam is the critical moment. That's where he gets the check mark. We're in the Mishnah on Beis Amad Aleph, and we are continuing in the Mishnah. So far what we have learned together is that if a Kohen has a Machshava Ra, a change of designation of the carbon, so during our Mishnah says Shechita, but now we know a little bit better, it's during the Dalet Avodos, so generally speaking, what it's going to create is a detachment between the carbon and its owner. Carbon's still good, but the owner does not get credit for it, except for Karban Pesach and for Karban Chatos. Where there, the carbon's disqualified. Continuing in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Af Ha'asham HaPesach Bezmano V'Achatos V'Asham B'Chol Zman. So, and Rabbi Lazar says even the Karban Asham as well. So in other words, according to Rabbi Lazar, it's now three Karbanos that one is going to... If a Kohen had a Shinui Kodesh, a change of the carbon during one of the Dalet Avodos, so it's going to be possible. Basically, what Rabbi Eliezer does is it just adds Asham to the list. And if you think about it, you don't have to think about it. The Mishnah spells it out. Let me read the Mishnah once again. HaPesach b'zmano v'achatos v'asham b'chol zman. Karban Pesach in its proper time and the Karban Chatos and Asham at any time. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, achatos b'alachet v'asham b'alachet. So, and Rabbi Eliezer's argument over here, a really sound argument. Meaning a carbon chatzos comes as a result of someone sinning, needing a kapara for his sin. So therefore, we learned in the Mishnah, and everyone agrees, that a shinui kodesh is going to be posel by a chatzos. Well, the asham is coming for the same reason. A carbon asham is coming for a sin. Ma chatzos psula shel lishma, af ha asham posel shel lishma. So if a carbon chatzos is coming for a chait, as a kapara for a chait, and Shinui Kodesh disqualifies it, the same thing is going to be true with the Karban Asham as well. Tosfos over here points out, not every Karban Chatas and every Karban Asham is coming for a Chet. You can point to a couple of examples where Chatas is coming not for a Chet. So for example, a woman delivered a child, this week's Parsha, here in America. Last week's Parsha in Eretz Yisrael. So if a woman delivers delivers a child, so she's going to bring a carbon chatas. The Gemara does say that there's a possible chait over there, but kipshuto, there's no chait. In other words, she just had a baby. So that's a chatas. And an asham, for example, a mitzora. A mitzora brings his carbon asham. Now again, can make the argument, yeah, there was a chait, how did he become a mitzora? But again, we're talking about his tahara, his purification process. Meaning he already experienced the tzaras. So, but anyway, so there's a chatzos for your lettuce, there's an ashram for a mitzorah, meaning to say, not every single chatzos and ashram are coming out for a chait, but still, the basic idea, however, is most carbon chatzos and most carbon ashamos are coming for a chait, and so therefore Rabbi Eliezer puts ashram in the category of chatzos. Continuing in the Mishnah, Yosi ben Choni Omer hanishchat l'mashem pesach shem chataim psulim. Yossi ben Choni's contribution to this discussion, his opinion is that basically everything we just said, not clear whether he agrees or disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer, seemingly he disagrees, but his point is that what we learned in the Mishnah can also be inverted. What does that mean? Meaning that let's say you have another karban and you label it, the Kohen labels it as either a karban chatas or a karban pesach. So what Rabbi Yossi ben Choni is teaching us is that under those circumstances, that also creates a psul, also creates disqualification. Not just detachment, but disqualification. Because he feels that just like if the Kohen were handling a Karban Pesach, Bezmano, and a Karban Chatas, and had a different designation, that's a psul, the inverse would also be true. If a Kohen was handling another Karban, and designated it incorrectly as either Karban Pesach or a Chatas, so that's also going to create a psul as well. The Mishnah continues, Shimon Ache Azariah Omer. Shimon, the brother of Azariah, says, it's a strange way to introduce somebody as being a brother of somebody, usually son of. Stay tuned, I'll explain in just a moment why he's referred to as a brother. Shimon Ache Azariah Omer, Shach Moshem Gavoah, Mehen Ksherim, L'Shem Namuch Mehen Psulin. Shimon is of the opinion that it depends in which direction you're going in terms of a change of designation. If you go for something which is higher Kedusha, kosher. If you go with something which is lower kedusha, pasul. Example, he gives one. Kate said, kachim, kachim, shashachim, l'shem, kachim, kalim, psulim. Let's say it's kachim, kachim. Like we discussed in the beginning of the intro to the Masechta. So kachim, kachim is a higher level kedusha carbon, like a carbonola. And then while shachting the carbonola, the Kohen had in mind, kachim, kalim. In other words, he calls it a shlamim. So, according to Shimon Achei Azariah, pasul. That would be pasul. The opposite of the kachim kalim sheshachnu shem kachim kachim. Let's say it's a shlamim, and the Kohen designates it as an ola, kasher. So, such a carbon would be kasher. So, according to him, it depends on which designation you're going with, and your erroneous designation is at a higher level or a lower level. Lower level, pasul. Higher level, kasher. Another example, and like I said in the intro, even within Kachim Kalim, we can make further categorizations of higher level versus lower level. So let's say, for example, it was either a Karban Bechor or Meiser. Bechor, firstborn animal. Meiser, tenth animal of the annual flock. So, and I shechted, the Kohen shechted L'shem Shlamim. And he shechts it as a standard shlamim, so that you're moving it from a lower level to a higher level, and therefore it's going to be kosher. Shlamim sheshachtim l'shem b'chor l'shem ma'aser psulim. On the other hand, if it's a karban shlamim, and then you shecht it either as a b'chor or as ma'aser, so now that's lower level kachet kalim, and therefore it's going to be pasul. Why is b'chor and ma'aser lower level? Rashi over here articulates. I'll read the Rashi inside. So this is going to be based on a Gemara we're going to see later on, the Masechta. Because a standard shlamim requires its blood to be sprinkled on four sides of the Mizbeach. Smicha, the owner has to rest his hands on the head of the animal. Nisachim, libations that come together with the karban. Tenufachaz, the waving of the chest of the animal together with the leg of the animal. These are extra requirements by your shlamim. Mashen came by b'chor and ma'aser behema, so these requirements are not necessary, so therefore, the standard shlamim has a higher level of kedusha than that of just either b'chor or ma'aser. And so therefore, even within kashim kalim, you can have this discussion of going up or going down. One point to wrap up before we finish with the Mishnah, Shimon Achei Azariah. Shimon was the brother of Azariah. Usually, when introducing a Tana, we talk about who his father was. We don't normally talk about who his brother was. Rashi writes over here. I read the Rashi inside. Shimon Achei Azariah, Hashem Shazariah Asak Beperk Machia. Azariah was in business. The Sipik Tzorchei Shimon Achiv B'Shashaya Osek B'Torah. And what they did is they struck the following relationship between brothers. Azariah was in business. Shimon was in learning. and Azariah supported Shimon in learning. The histor b'nehem, and contracted agreement, sheyuchelek la'azariah b'schar Talmud Rosh Shimon, that Shimon was going to learn and split the schar learning between he and his brother. Kedamrin and Besota, this Gemara is insulting. Mitin isha is kolhon beso lo kishimon achi Azariah lefichach nikra al shmo shalamet al yado. And now, because Shimon was sponsored by his brother Azariah, so now, right, whenever referencing him in Shas, and quite frankly, you know, I don't remember him coming up that often, but whenever being referenced in Shas, so Shimon Achei Azariah. Azariah was the supporter, he was the sponsor. And the Schar gets split between the two. Okay, Adkan Divrei HaMishnah, we start with the Gemara. Lama li lemifnei ela shalo alu. Lifnei velo alu labal mashem chova. So the first attack of the Gemara has on the Mishnah is the language of the Mishnah and the long-winded speech of the Mishnah. I don't really mean it's long-winded, but the Gemara, however, says that the Mishnah really could have conserved the word. Rashi over here brings down Lo Mishana Adam Latamido Derech Tzara. So when you're teaching, so you should not be long-winded. You should be as terse as possible, as concise as possible. Right? Clarity. You get points for clarity. And so if there's an extra word in the Mishnah, shouldn't be there. Or if it's there, there's got to be a purpose. The Mishnah says, Kol Zvachim Shiniz B'chu Shalosh Shman Ksherim Ela Shalo Alu Labalim. Mishnah didn't have to say that. The Mishnah could have just simply said, V'lo Alu Labalim L'shem Chova. And the word Ela is extra. And what's the purpose of that word? So how can Mashmon Labalim Udalo Alu L'shem Chova V'aktu Shesai Kama? V'asr L'shanuye Bohu. So the Gemara teaches us the following. The Kohen during the Shechita had a Shinui Kodesh. He changed the designation of the animal, or at least attempted to. Changed the designation of the animal. The animal was an Ola, and he said, it's L'shem Shlom. So now, the Kohen did no good. And again, in the example that I just gave, so what now is the result? Carbon's still a good carbon, it's still going to be offered, but detachment now has been created between the carbon and its owner. Okay. What we're now learning together is the following. Why does the Mishnah say the word Ela? What's being introduced in the Mishnah with the word Ela is the following. So now the Kohen called it a Shlamim, and it's not. It was an Ola. And that was during the Shechita. There are three more Avodas we're going to go through. We're going to go through Kabbalas Adam, and Holacha, and Zrikas Adam. What we're now learning together is the following. Despite the fact that you made a mistake, and you called it a Shlamim, don't call it a Shlamim again. Meaning resume to calling it an Ola. And that's what the Gemara means. Ava b'kedusha sayu kaima. It still remains in its kedusha. V'asur l'shanuya b'hu. And don't change its designation again. Despite the fact that the damage is done. You can't undo what the Kohen has done. The owner no longer is connected to the karban. But still, from this point going forward, keep it in Ola. Ever for all the other avodas, have Ola in mind. Uchid rav damar rav Ola sheshachtu shaloshma. Let's say I had a karban Ola that was shachted. Shaloshma asur l'zorak damar shaloshma. Don't sprinkle the blood, shalol l'shma. And the Gemara says, now, you can explain this in one of two ways. With a simple, rational explanation, and also you can darshan a pasuk as well. The first is, look, you made a mistake. Does that give you permission to continue making more mistakes? Meaning, I know, your mistake now is logged in. It's done. The owner no longer is connected to the carbon, but that doesn't now allow you. You shouldn't be in the right to say, well, look, it's over now. So you know what? I'll still keep calling it a shlamim. No, it's not a shlamim. It's carbonola. The fact that you called it a shlamim, and yes, that's an incorrectable mistake. But still, you know, it's a carbonola. So don't keep perpetuating the mistake. That's a svara. Ibai se makran. The Gemara says, and also we can learn through a pasuk as well. The pasuk says. So the pasuk in Kiseitse says that when a person commits himself to making a neder, a pledge, so make sure that you keep your pledge. Here's what bothers the Gemara, and this is something which I didn't discuss in the intro, but let's make this point clear. I told you back in the intro that a carbon can either come as a chover or can come as a neder, as a voluntary offering. Even within the world of nedarim and a voluntary offering, there's still further subdivides. It goes into neder and nedava, the difference being as follows. A neder is where I make a personal commitment to bring a karban. A personal commitment to bring a karban, that means I'm on the hook. Once I make a personal commitment to bring a karban, So now, even though, of course, it's voluntary, but it's my own personal commitment, right? You say the words, a lie. It's on me. And now, you have to bring the carbon. In other words, let's say you designated a carbon and whatever, for whatever reason, it goes wrong, and it wasn't offered correctly, you got to bring another carbon. Meaning, because that's a neder, that's a personal commitment. On the other hand, there's something called a nedava. And nedava is where you say, zeh. I'm going to bring this animal. So in other words, with using the word zeh, you're just simply saying that this animal is going to be a carbon, but not a lie, it's not on me. So the difference between a neder and a nedava, it's obviously a very big difference. By a nedava, something goes wrong with the animal, okay, you tried. And you don't have a personal commitment. In other words, you simply designated this animal to be a carbon. So the difference between neder and nedava is a big difference. And the pasuk in Chumash seems to be throwing the terms around as if they're the same. And now let's see the pasuk inside again. We're on the bottom of Beis Amad Alf. Motzis Vasecha Tishmor Vasisa Kasher Nadarta Shemelkecha Nidava. So Nadarta, meaning that's a personal neder, and then Nidava, and the Torah seems to be just jumping from one to the other. Hai Nidava Nederhu. And the Gemara is incredulous. Well, what do you mean? Why, how could you say it's a Nidava? It's not a Nidava, it's a neder. There are two different types of karbanos. Ella, the top of Beis Amad Beis. Im Kamash Nadarta Asisa Yeh Neder. So look, if the carbon was done correctly, good. It'll satisfy your obligation of a neder. But let's say it's not done correctly. In other words, like we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta. Let's say there was a Shinui Kodesh, a change in designation. Okay, so it's no longer a neder. Meaning again, because the Kohen created detachment between the carbon and you. But in other words, but it's still a carbon, it should still be a nedava. Meaning let's treat it like a carbon. Or nedava mishar l'shinui yibau. And now if you have a carbon, do you have the right, do you have permission to change its designation? Obviously, it's a rhetorical question. Obviously, the answer is no. So in other words, so either it's a simple svara of, just because you made a mistake, don't compound the error, or it's a drasha that we just learned together. Amalei Rabin l'Rapapa lohavei gaban ba'orsa b'tchuma be'char mech de'rami rava mili mal yasa ahadadi v'shani lohum. Ravina says to Rapapa, look, it's a shame. You weren't with us last night in the tchum of Becharmech, that's the name of a place, and Rava there asked a lot of wonderful questions, and he answered the questions as well. So he asked good questions, and he also gave great answers, and it's a shame you weren't there. And so the Gemara says this by way of intro, in terms of a dialogue between these Amorayim, and we get to go over now the questions of Rava and the answer that Rava gives. Right, towards the beginning of Baba Kama, the Gemara, when discussing the sugya of Zenen, of Zelochas, so the Gemara opens up the same way. Right, you were shame you missed the shir last night. You really missed a lot. But over here we have a chazar shir, and we get to hear through the chazar shir. My mile mal yasa. So let's start off. What are some of the questions that were asked? What were some of the answers that were given? So kol zvachim shnez bechu shloshman. So let's take a look at our mishnah, the first mishnah of zvachim. The mishnah says that you have a carbon that was shechted shelo lishman. So the kohen had a different intent, a shinui kodesh. So time is a shaloshman hastama alu nami lebal and l'shem chova. So, but what if the Kohen had no intent? Meaning, we're discussing in our Mishnah either good intent or no or bad intent. Well, what about stam? What about no intent? What happens over there? It sounds like from the Mishnah that stama, that if the Kohen had no intent, that's fine, because the Mishnah obviously is there to provide for us the biggest chiddush. And the Mishnah says that when is the carbon now? When do we have detachment? Only when it's shalolishma. Which means anything short of that, carbon's still good. So it sounds like from our Mishnah that if the Kohen had no intent, it would be a good carbon. So that means that if a Kohen had no intent, the carbon's going to be a good carbon. Now, by the way, parenthetically, I'll just state the obvious. It's obviously better for the Kohen to have good intent than no intent, but we're just learning together right now that no intent is not a puzzle, or it's not even going to be a disconnection between the carbon and its owner. Oh, Riminuan on that, we're going to quote a Mishnah from Gittin. Kol HaGeshenechla Shalol L'Shem Isha Pasol. If a get was written, we know that one of the basic halachas regarding Gittin is that when the sofer writes the get, he has to do so Lishma. Meaning he has to know the name of the man and the name of the woman, and he has to know not only the names, but who they are. Meaning who the names actually represent. Meaning I'm writing a get for him. I'm writing a get for her. And he has to have the right people in mind. This is the Lishma of a get. And we also know that if a get is written shelo lishma, so the get is pasul. Right? 10 things that are postal a get. Rambam lists them in the beginning of Hilchas Gerushin. So one of the 10 things that's posel get is shelo lishma. So when it comes to the writing of a get, so shelo lishma is posel. What if the sofer had no kavana, just wrote a get with nothing in mind? Ustam anami posel. Now we know that when it comes to getin, if the sofer has nothing in mind, it's going to be posel. So that means stam is going to be posel. So by karbanos, a machshava stam, no machshava, no kavana is fine. When it comes to gerushin, no machshava is posel. What's the difference between the two? Vishani zvachim b'stam, vishani, and he answers as follows. Zvachim b'stam lishman omdim. So he says, look, context is going to answer everything. When it comes to a carbon, why am I bringing a carbon? I'm bringing a carbon because it's there to be brought as a carbon. Meaning already we are in enough of a context where it's clear this is going in as a carbon. So the Kohen doesn't have to inject machshava into the carbon. It's clear just from the context that it is a carbon. Now again, it's better if the Kohen has the right machshavas in mind. But in other words, but if there's in the absence of a machshava, we all know and understand that it's going to be offered on the base on the mizbech. However, isha b'stam alav l'gerushim ha'omedes. But when it comes to a wife is not there to be divorced. Meaning, the context tells you that she's a married woman and she'll continue to be a married woman. What you need is a positive action to sever that marriage. So a positive action, not just a positive action, but a positive intent to sever that marriage. If a sofer is writing the get and he has no machshav in mind, so there's not now the positive intent in order to create severance between man and woman. Because a woman, her stam is, she's married and she remains married. So that is the distance, that's the difference between a karban and that of a woman, a wife, in terms of a get. Really interesting. Tosfos over here, I'll highlight it. Tosfos over here says, stam isha lav l'gerushin omedes. A woman is not there to be divorced. Tosfos writes, ba'afilu zinsa tachas bala. Let's say there's a really good reason why a man should be divorcing his wife. Let's say she committed adultery. Okay, a fantastic reason. Now, by the way, a little bit of a misconception, right? Some people think, at least in my experiences, some people think when a woman commits adultery, so that severs the relationship. It's not true. Marriage is still intact. Marriage is not good, to say the least. But that does not dissolve the marriage. In other words, she is, it's really interesting, she's usher to her husband. In other words, once she commits adultery, she has an isser to be with her husband, but in other words, they're married. It does not dissolve the marriage. And Tosfos writes, it's really interesting. Tosfos writes, "Va'afilu zinsa tachas bala mikamakam lav lihiskarish beget zeh omedes." Even though you have a really good reason to divorce her, but she's not omedes lekach. In other words, she's still in a chazaka of being a married woman. V'gamim lo yirza ba'al lo yigarshenu, elo shelo tishamshenu. So, if for some really bizarre reason, the husband's now going to say, you know what? In other words, we won't be intimate with one another. I'm not allowed to be intimate with one. We're not allowed to be. It's also to do so. So, but you know what? Let's keep the marriage going for a little bit. So Tosfos says that, you know, he could do that. So in other words, even if there's a really good reason to divorce one's wife, but still, the principle is still intact. The principle of she is not lihizgarish omedes, meaning that's not the direction she's going. In order for her to get divorced, you need positive input into the get in order to create severance. Okay.
Is this a rabbinic institution, or is it Torah?
Wait, what's that?
Not be with your wife.
When she commits adultery, it's an Isser min HaTorah. Right? It's an Isser min HaTorah. Okay? It's really, really interesting. Okay, Vizvachim, we're in the Gemara on Beis Amid Beis, we're about a third of the way down on the Gemara, second word on the line. Vizvachim b'stamak sherim minalan. How do I know that if I have a karbon and the Kohen shechs it, and it does any one of the dollar of odos, and he has no kavana, how do we know it's fine? Meaning, going into the question, we assume that this is true. And it's true. No kavana mixi is not gonna disqualify the karbon. But how do we know that? So the Gemara gives us a couple suggestions. So perhaps it comes from the following Mishnah, otherwise known as our Mishnah. So you look carefully at the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say it was shechted lishman. And the Mishnah gives the example of it was shechted shelo lishman, which means, like I explained earlier, anything short of that would be fine. So it's a fair reading of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says it is a fair reading of the Mishnah, But gabi get nami. Hakitani, kol hageshe nechta shelo shem isha pasul. The same language is used by a get, and as we all learn together, by a get, stam is pasul. So velo ketani shelo nechta shem isha pasul. Ela meha. So in other words, even though our Mishnah, you can be medayik in our Mishnah, but you can make the same dik in the Mishnah and get, and it's not true. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're going to have to quote now from another Mishnah. Mishnah coming up, we're going to see this Mishnah a couple weeks from today. Ketzer l'shman v'shaloshman, where the Mishnah is talking about a case where the Kohen had two machshavas. One is l'shma and one is shalol l'shma. What happens in such a scenario? Well, first the Mishnah gives an example. L'shem Pesach l'shem Shlamim. So the Mishnah gives the example where it was done l'shem Pesach l'shem Shlamim. Time adam l'shem Pesach l'shem Shlamim ha'l'shem Pesach v'stamakasher. So that means to say that, let's do the following. Instead of saying l'shem Pesach l'shem Shlamim, let's take out the Shlamim and let's give it nothing, meaning we'll create an absence of a machshava in the second half of the karban. So the Gemara says, Amas tamak l'shman dami. So if we're reading the Mishnah correctly, with the proper diuk, that in the absence of that second machshava, the karban would be fine, that would seem to answer our question. But the Gemara says, of course that doesn't answer our question. Dilmashani asam damar kolau sa das rishonu uosa. So the Gemara says, because consider, if you start off with the correct machshava, and then later you have no machshava, so how do we fill in that absence? It's very simple. With how you started. You started correctly, l'shem Pesach, it is a carbon Pesach, and then no machshava, but we'll just simply say, look, you started with a machshava, so that'll fill in the absence. And let me say, for the Gemara says, okay, but let's just go to the next part of the Mishnah. Shalol l'shman l'shman. The Mishnah just gives the same example of the double kavana. But here, you start with a shalol l'shma, and you end with a l'shma. For example, l'shem shlam l'shem pesach. Time adam l'shem shlam l'shem pesach, meaning it is a karban pesach. But he starts with l'shem shlamim, and then he says l'shem pesach. Hastam l'shem pesach kasher. Now again, the deal goes like this. If let's say we take out the l'shem shlamim, we put absence over there. Nothing. Stam. So in other words, we have no kavana, followed then by l'shem pesach. So in that circumstance, seemingly it's okay, and that would seem to prove that stama would be okay. But again, the Gemara says that's not a good proof. So the Gemara says, look, first, in that case, we can make the argument. He ended with the right machshava. He had nothing in the beginning, so the end could fill in the absence. Yochiach sofo atchilaso. Inami is similar, or alternatively, I did tam l'shman v'shaloshman, tananami shaloshman ulishman. Or the Gemara says, look, as far as that Mishnah is concerned, don't make a deal from the second half of the Mishnah. The Mishnah over here just wanted to show a contrast between the two cases, or a complement of those two cases. But it's not because that we need to make a deal from the second half of the Mishnah. It's just that the Mishnah had a case where we started off Lishman, Shalol Lishman, so the Mishnah then ended off with Shalol Lishman, Lishman. So the Gemara says, so from that Mishnah, once again, we can't prove anything. Elameha. So the Gemara says, okay, let's consider from the following Mishnah. And this is the Mishnah, Mem Vavam and Beis. Mishnah, in the intro, we opened up with this Mishnah. This is the Mishnah that tells us what are the proper kavanas that need to be had while shechting a karban. L'shem shishat dvar mazevach nizbach. A karban is shechted with six kavanas in mind. Number one, l'shem zevach, you have to have the right karban. L'shem zevach, the right owner of the karban. L'shem Hashem, you have to have a Kadosh Baruch in mind. L'shem ishim. Rashi over here writes, L'shem Ishim, L'hakiram, V'l'lasom, L'asosom, Sli al Mizbeach. Right, you have to burn it on the Mizbeach, and not that it be roasted on the Mizbeach. This is not a barbecue. This is a carbon. The pieces that we put on the Mizbeach are to be totally burnt. L'shem Reach, take a look at Rashi over here, L'afuke Evarim, Shetzalim, V'halam, Deshuv, Ein Bahem Reach, V'achim Mefarsh Luhasam. As the Gemara later on is going to explain on Daf Mem Vav, Rashi over here cites, when it says L'shem Reach, meaning we can't pre-roast it and then put it on the Mizbeach. We have to put it on the Mizbeach and have it roast on the Mizbeach, creating the Reach. And finally, L'shem Nicholach. Rashi, L'shem Anachas Ruch L'Akadosh Baruch Hu Shamar V'Nasir Ritzono. We are doing God's will. And so we have to have in mind that this is the Ritzona Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ritzona Bore, and we're doing God's will. These are the kavanas that are necessary, the six kavanas that are necessary every time we offer a karban. V'achatas v'asham l'shem chet. And additionally, if it's a karban chatas or a karban asham, so you also have the kavana of what chet is this being brought for. Am Rav Yossi. And then, so far so good, we didn't make the point yet. Meaning, the whole reason why we brought this Mishnah down is how do I know that stam is kosher? It comes from this section of the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yossi, af mishalo haya balila liba l'shem achas mikol eila kasher. Anyone who doesn't have any of these kavanas in mind, the carbon's kasher. Shetanai beisin hu asnu beisin, delo lema l'shmo. In fact, Basin says, you know what, it's preferable. Tonight, Basin, one of the stipulations that Basin made is that, look, no kavana, carbon's still going to be good. Basin said, it's preferable that there's no kavana. Dilma asala memer shalala shmo. Because the obvious concern is that the more you do, or the more you have to have in mind, the more room there is to make mistakes. And if I know that not having a kavana, then better chance of not making an error. So according to Rav Yossi, better to have no kavan in mind. And the Gemara now makes what is now a really obvious and good point. If Stama would be puzzle, so Basin would not be making an institution that disqualifies a carbon, obviously. So in other words, the assumption, the given going into this is that Stama is kosher, and then according to Rav Yossi, now that we know that Stama is kosher, so you know what? Better to have no kavana and less room to make errors and mistakes when offering the carbon. Okay. We started today the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, the first daf of Masechta Zvachim. We introduced ourselves to the concept of Shinui Kodesh, that when the Kohen is doing one of the four avodas, if he has a change of designation of carbon, so the carbon now is not puzzle, but detachment is created between the carbon and the owner. The owner does not get a check for bringing the carbon. The owner, in order to satisfy his obligation, is going to have to bring another carbon, with notable exceptions of carbon Pesach and carbon Chatas, where there, a Shinui Kodesh is going to disqualify the carbon for reasons which we have not yet seen. That's coming up later on. We spoke this morning about Tosos' distinction between Shinui Kodesh versus Shinui Bailim. Shinui Kodesh is a designation, will affect the carbon on all four avodas, according to Tosfos. Shinui Bailim is only going to affect it only during Zrika. We spoke about that in the beginning of the Shir. The Gemara goes on to first discuss, if there was Shinui Kodesh that was done, should then the Kohen continue making the mistake? The answer, of course, is no. We learn that from the extra word in the Mishnah of Ella. The Gemara gives the Svar, the Gemara gives the Pasuk, in terms of making this point very clearly. And then the discussion that occurred in the Beis Medrash. In the Beis Medrash, a discussion occurred between Ravin and Rav Papa, over the discussion that Rava had previously in the Beis Medrash. The first issue that we discussed and concluded on is that when it comes to a carbon, if you have no kavana stam, so the carbon is going to be kosher. Masha'en came by gittin, if you have no kavana in terms of the lishma of writing a get, so the get is going to be pasul. What's the difference between get and carbon? And the answer that Rava gives is which direction we're going in. If you're offering a carbon, the direction is we're offering a carbon. So you don't need to inject a positive kavana when offering a carbon. That's what we're doing. We're offering a carbon. That's why stam would be kasher. Masha'en kein. When it comes to a woman, a wife, so a wife, her direction is she's married. In order to sever that marriage, you need a positive kavana in order to create separation between the two. And then the Gemara just went over, where do we see most clearly this idea that by a carbon, stam would be good? And we went through a number of Mishnayos, and the Gemara ended off by citing the Mishnah on Memvav that clearly articulates that stam would be good.